إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, in our series of تزكية النفس and تربية الأخلاق, I want to remind myself and you today about the importance of purification of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Allah said, He has succeeded, the one who has purified himself. And the purification of the heart is very important, because without that, the knowledge and the practice of Islam is not possible. And the heart is filled with impurities, the kalam of Allah does not rest there. One of those impurities, one of the very major ones, is hatred, nafrat. Today, unfortunately, we seem to live in a world which runs on hatred. Everyone is very busy hating everyone else. People are making hate speeches, and other people are making some more hate speeches, and we hate this one, and we hate that one, and we dislike this one, and we dislike that one, and whole world, major conversations are dominated by criticism. Conversations are dominated by hatred. We just reflect and think, you know, just reflect and think about normal conversations. When people talk, wherever we go and we meet people and all that, what dominates? Appreciation of people, thankfulness for what Allah has given us, gratitude for what there is, or criticism, hatred, which one dominates conversations? I mean, it's so easy to notice and so easy to see, and such a big eye-opener. We pick only on the things which are negative. The problem with hatred is that not only is it a negative emotion in itself, but hatred then gives rise to other things which are in many ways worse. For example, if there is hatred, then because of hatred, jealousy happens. If there is hatred, because of hatred, people start slandering one another. If there is hatred, because of hatred, people start backbiting one another. So, your amal also go to the people that you hate. And then, as they say, somebody, I read this somewhere, they say that if you hate somebody, you have given him rent-free accommodation in your mind. So, constantly your mind is engaged with that person and with feeling bad about that person and all, and all of that. And your brain cells are occupied with all those negative thoughts. Now, it's such a horrible thing, but we engage in it, and maybe we do it unconsciously. The point of all these reminders is that we become conscious and we stop doing it. Now, we come to the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ with regard to the issue of hatred. Now, why does somebody hate? First of all, I think we hate without reason. I mean, we have no reason to hate somebody, but we hate them. They didn't do anything to us, nothing, but we hate. But with Nabi ﷺ, even people who legitimately he could have and should have hated, if you think about it, you know, there is, after all, he was human, so he also had emotions. People who he should have hated, what did he do with those people when he conquered Makkah after Fatah Makkah? If you look at the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked him when he called them, and he stood on the door of the Kaaba and he called them, and they all came. And he had an army of 10,000 soldiers with him. So he asked them, what shall I do with you? And they said, Anta Akhil Kareem wa Ibnul Kareem wa Ibn Akhil Kareem. They said that you are the noble brother and you are the son of a noble brother. So Rasulullah ﷺ then recited the ayah from Surah Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, today there is no blame on you. لا تسريب عليكم اليوم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forgive you and forgive me. So Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited that ayah, and he said, today there is no blame on you, go away. And that is why the people who were at that time in Makkah, they are called Tulaqa. They are called the released slaves, the freed slaves of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because technically speaking, Makkah had been conquered, and therefore those people, their lives and their properties were forfeits. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave it back to them. Now, if you think about this, these were the people who did not leave any effort undone. They didn't leave any stone unturned to try to harm him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or to try to harm his family, or to try to harm his followers in any, every possible way. His daughter herself, when she was migrating from Makkah to Medina, a man stabbed her with a lance. And as a result of which, when she, by the time she reached Medina after that, she passed away, she died. Now imagine, they killed his daughter. They tried to kill him. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. They killed his companions, the father and mother of Yasir radiallahu anhu. So the point is that people who did all this, they confiscated his property, they confiscated the property of his followers, they looted them, they humiliated them, and they did all kinds of things. So people to whom, if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had hated them, then there was ample reason to hate them. It was not as if you couldn't say, well, you know, why were you hating them? What else do you do? You know? But what did he do? Not only did he not hate them, when he was faced with enemies, he eliminated enmity. He did not try to eliminate the enemy. Now there is a difference. If you eliminate enmity, agar aap dushmani khatam kar de, to dushman sa khud ba khud khatam ho jayega. Na baaki na rahe baans na baje baansri. To jab dushmani khatam ho gayi, dushman khatam ho gayi. Magar dushman ko agar aap khatam karne lage, to dushmani badhti hai. Because if you try to eliminate the enemy, then enmity will increase, because every enemy that you kill has a brother, has a father, has a mother, has a son, has a sister, has so and so, all of whom now become your enemies, because you killed whoever was, you killed their, one of their, you know, relatives. Now, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, therefore, even though he could have done this, legally he was, he would have been correct if he had done it, he chose the path of the higher moral ground of eliminating enmity. And as a result, what happened? All that enmity and all those enemies were nullified, they were neutralized by one shot without anybody being killed and without any bloodshed. And the issue of enmity against Islam ended on that day. So eliminating of hatred, dousing the flames of hatred, then has so much of goodness along with it. But today we live in a world, as I said, which seems to go around on hatred. And that's why I remind myself and you, it's not easy to do, I know, it's difficult, because hatred is a very powerful emotion. And for many people, it keeps them alive, it gives them energy. They spend a lot of energy and time hating other people and trying to do things somehow to harm them, you know, one way or the other. And that's how, why else do they slander and why else do they backbite? Because they want to harm. But see the harm it does to yourself. First of all, raises your blood pressure, increases your acidity and all sorts of negative physiological changes when you are busy hating somebody. Second thing is that because of hatred, and this also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, there were people among the mushrikeen of Makkah, especially people like Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab and so on, who were the family of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Lahab was the closest relative of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was like his father. He was his father's brother. He was the closest relative of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If he had accepted Islam, he would have been among the Ahlul Bayt of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he did not accept Islam. Why? Because he hated Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No other reason. There was no logical reason for not accepting. To the extent that Abu Lahab believed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much that he did not participate in the battle of Badr, because he said, if I go and fight against him, I will lose. But he will not accept his message. Why? Because he is saying it. Now, I remind myself and you, let us think about this. How many people do we not take good from just because you don't like the man's face? Or just because you don't like that woman? Not because what they are saying is wrong or what they are doing is wrong. No, you don't want to take anything from them because you don't like them. Whose loss is it? Who went to Jahannam? Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab or somebody else? Whose loss is it? Was it any loss to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? No. he was trying to give good, somebody refuses and rejects, and there is no logical reason for rejection. It's not as if I don't believe what you are saying or I don't like what you are. No, I don't like you. Arey Vasu, you don't like the person, you don't take any good from them, whose loss is it? The reason I am mentioning these things from the Sira is because, unfortunately, today we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We will not listen to advice, we will not listen to feedback from somebody, not because the feedback is wrong, not because the advice is wrong, but because I don't like that person. Whose loss is it? Whose fault is it? Who will lose? That person doesn't lose. I mean, he's giving you feedback for free, he's not asking for money. Don't take it. You don't want to go and you don't want to, take anything. Go, it's up to you. Don't take it. It's whose loss is it? And that's the reason why this hatred is such a negative and bad emotion for the person who hates. It's not whatever else happens to others. For the person who hates. The last and final thing I want to say is that the hatred is also the reason why there are so many divisions amongst us. The key thing to understand is, you have to differentiate between the actions of a person and the person himself. If a person is doing something wrong, for example, if a person is committing some bid'ah, or a person is doing shirk, or if a person is worshipping something other than Allah or asking help from someone, the action is wrong. But we should not hate the individual. Today we combine the two. Today we combine the two and we curse the individual. We curse them. He's a fellow, he's a dirty Barelvi, or he's a dirty Wahhabi, or he's this or that. What is that? What is this? This is not Islam. The action of that person is wrong. If somebody is going and worshipping on a grave, if somebody is going and making sajda to somebody or asking for help from somebody who is dead, that action is wrong. But that person is not to be hated. Why do you hate the individual? His action is wrong. The reason I'm saying is that the biggest dalil from the Quran, which is against hatred, is the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have extracted you for the benefit of mankind. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. To do what? To save all of mankind from the hellfire. Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. For what? To save all of mankind from the hellfire. You want to save somebody who you hate? No, seriously, think about this. If I hate somebody, then I would like to see them burning in the hellfire. Why would I want to save them? If they were being saved, I would be very unhappy. Why is this person being saved? I think they should burn. Let them burn nicely, right? I would like to watch them burning. But this is not Islam. Islam did not tell us to be happy about the misfortune of somebody else, no matter who that person is. So what is Islam saying? Islam is saying that as a Muslim, not only must you be concerned and not only must you not hate your own brothers and sisters, fellow Muslims, but you must also not hate those who are not Muslim. You must also not hate those who are against Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You must not hate them. You hate their action. You hate their action. You work to change their minds. You work to direct them to the right thing. But you don't hate them. The reason, the dalil is, if it was permissible for us to hate the one who has not entered Islam, if it were permissible for us to hate somebody who is not a Muslim, then there is no need for us to do da'wah. Absolutely no need. Then we should stop doing da'wah. Because somebody who is not a Muslim, I hate him, and if I say that I hate him, and that person, therefore, if he is not in Islam, he will go into the hellfire, then very good, let him go. Why are you bothered? But that is not Islam. Islam says, save him from the hellfire. Save whom? You want to save the Sahaba from the hellfire? The Sahaba are already saved. You want to save the Anbiya from the hellfire? They are already saved. There is nothing that you can. You have to save the one who is otherwise, he will go into the hellfire. Who is that one? That is the one who does everything wrong. That is the one who does everything against whatever you believe. The greatest expression of love is the da'wat of Islam. The greatest expression of universal brotherhood is the inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest expression of da'wat, of love of individuals, of human beings, whoever they are, is da'wat of Islam. You have got, if I ask you as a Muslim, what is the greatest thing of the greatest value that you have? What is it? Our iman. Any Muslim who has any knowledge, if you ask him, what is the thing that you value the most? What will you say? Iman. No, it's not your money, it's not this, not health, not nothing. At the end, if everything goes, it is still possible to survive. But if iman goes, then you go into hellfire. So therefore, the most valuable possession you have is iman. And what is da'wat? Is to share this possession with somebody else, is to give it to somebody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, by giving, yours does not go away. Obviously, yours also increases. But the what else would you say that the greatest expression of love is to share that which you value the most? Not to give some trash, not some garbage, something I don't use, take it. No! A thing which I value the most, I want to share this with you. This is the greatest expression of love. And who will you share iman with? The one who does not have it. The one who already has it, he has it. I mean, what are you going to give him? But the one who does not have it, how will you share that unless you love that person? If I hate that person, why would I want to share? I will not want to share. So therefore, Islam is actually telling us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually telling us that we have to love that Jew, and we have to love that BJP Hindu, and we have to love that VHP fellow, and we have to love that sadhu, and we have to love, you know, Praveen Tokadia, and we have to love. So imagine this. And I am telling you seriously, I don't mean it in a humorous manner. Seriously, I am saying, if we approach people, the same Praveen Tokadia, whose face we may not like, right? He talks nonsense, but I am saying the same person, if we approach him with love, if we approach him with honor, we do not know what he will do. We do not know what he will do. And nobody can tell me that he knows, because nobody has done this. Do it and see. We do not know what he will do, because there is a intrinsic goodness in every human being, no matter what the person be saying or doing. And if you approach that person with that, from that perspective of that goodness, we do not know what he will do. And again, at the end of it, we don't do it for them. We do it because this is what we have been told to do by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it to please our Rabb. We are not doing it for show, we are not doing it to tell the world, we are not doing it to become popular here or there. We are doing it because we are Muslims. Khalas. No other reason. No other reason. And believe me, if Rasulullah could forgive Wahshi, radiallahu anhu, and we can forgive anybody else. If Rasulullah could forgive those who killed his own family, we can forgive anybody else. The whole point of the Prophet is for him to be an example for us to follow, not just to talk about, to follow. And yes, he walked a very high path, and so it will be difficult. But we know it leads to success in dunya wal akhirah. Therefore, we have to make the effort. We must make the effort to spread this love of people for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remove the hatred from your heart. Spit it out, forget it, throw it away. Think about the person you hate the most and stop hating that person. Stop hating the person. Do not keep that hatred in your heart. That's very important. If that person harmed you in some way, forget it. Forgive that person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. You need not go and do anything, but just forgive the person, at least internally. Forgive the person. Alhamdulillah, I am not going to waste my time and energy and brain waves behind this individual. No, leave it. Forget it. And be the best with them, present the best with them. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward for that, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. I know it is not easy. I know it is difficult. But anything that is worth having tends to be difficult. That's how the world is made. Whatever is worth having is not easy. This is also, alhamdulillah, inshallah, worth having. Therefore, it may not be easy, but we still try to do this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmal rahim.